Welcome to the November 2nd edition of In the Moment Tech Radio. I'm your host, Kent Osborne. We've gathered the experts to talk tech today, answer any questions you have. That our listening audience in the Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls, John T. Meyer is here. Hello, John.
Howdy. How are you?
I am great. How's Lemonly this week?
Lemonly's good. We just got back last week. At the end of last week, we had our annual retreat, so we fly our remote people in. We have three remote people. We fly them in. We drove. We went to Okoboji, which I don't really know why we went to Okoboji, honestly, in late October. It was like the right distance. We had like 90 minutes is like the good radius. But anyway, the content was really good.
Okoboji's that day drive thing for folks in Sioux Falls, you know, and a great spot. And in October, it'd be quiet for you.
Very quiet, yeah. We need to be far enough away where people can kind of disconnect from their day-to-day life. We just kind of close the office down and go. But close enough, we have a couple new parents, new mothers and fathers that they can get back if needed. So, but anyway, yeah. It was a great retreat, and yeah, things are good at Lemonly.
So how did they unwind and?
Yeah. We do a lot of thinking about where we're headed next year and what does the company look like in the future. And we bring in a facilitator who gave a little talk. Yeah, it was good.
I was just going to ask, did you facilitate or did you bring somebody in?
We do about half and half, yeah. So our team, kind of leadership team, plans some of the content, and then we bring someone else in.
How did you find that person?
This person, her name is Rosalind. She has a company called Fabric, which is an awesome company working on with people for leadership development and organizational culture. And so she came in and we talked about communication, right? How to give feedback, how to not being afraid of a little conflict when it comes to your coworkers, and some of those important topics that just really boil down to simple communication.
So how did you find her? Did you just Google?
Historically, it's probably more information than people care to know. But when Rosalind was, she used to live in Sioux Falls and was doing HR here at John Morrell's. And so my business partner, Amy, and I, we hired her to make the original Lemonly core values, mission, and vision statement. I would go to conferences and you hear entrepreneurs talk about, well, we believe in our core values and you got to have a mission statement. And I said, well, how do you get one of those? And so I met her and I said, hey, could I hire you to do that? So she came in and we had conversations and talked about it. And she pulled out these themes and ideas from Amy and I. And about five, 6 years later, she started her own company doing that service. So
that's fantastic. Great story.
Yeah, I'd recommend her if your business needs something like that.
That's awesome. Also in the studio in Sioux Falls, Amos Aesop from Exigent. He's the chief security officer there. Hello, Amos.
Hi, Kent. How's it going?
A slower week than normal, or just you still riding the wave?
Oh boy, it's never a slow week. I wish we could find a slow week, but not this week, unfortunately.
Yeah, I came across one of those browser warnings this week. I was tracking down what people are now starting to call junk news. They're discarding the fake news moniker on Facebook, and they're starting to call it junk, kind of what it is. And I'm kind of tracking down some links because, oh man, the volume this week has been really amped up of stuff. Of junk. And I was tracking down some links, and of course you end up on some very nefarious websites when you do that, if you try to do some sleuthing. And got one of those, hey, your computer's infected, you got to do this, call the Microsoft 800 number, here it is. And I hadn't seen that one in a while.
It seems that sort of stuff has really been ramping up. We've seen an increase in that. We've seen an increase in companies who are receiving emails from their CEO, but the email has been spoofed, and so it's not actually coming from their CEO, but it would appear as though their CEO is asking them to purchase something. Maybe it's wire some money, or maybe it's buy an iTunes gift card, or whatever it happens to be. We've seen a significant increase in that. And then the other one that I thought was interesting was somebody who received a phone call and they said, hi, this is whoever and I'm from Microsoft and we see that your Windows computer has a virus and we wanted to proactively help you with that and make sure that it doesn't cause any problems. And in this
what a
case,
nice guy.
I know. It's so handy. In this case, the person on the other end was pretty savvy and knew that this was a scam. And so, you know, asked some questions. How did they know? Which computer was it? And it turned out that this particular person didn't have a Windows computer in their home at all. They were a full Mac household. Speaking of, Joel is here too, by the way. Kent, I know you can't see that. So, you know, that ended up being something that luckily this person didn't fall for, but there certainly could be people who do. So watch out for that. If any time you get a person who is bringing that information to you, if it's truly legitimate, which it probably won't be, they will have no problem with having you call them back through a number you would find on their support site, you know, through some sort of end user license agreement or some other method that you know to be legitimate.
I have a question for you, a spoof question that just happened to me this morning. So I got a new credit card, an American Express card, and it comes in the mail, right? And you have to access it, and it's got the little sticker on there, and it also has the URL. And so it was like americanexpress.com/something, I think maybe access card or register card, something like that. So I'm typing that into my browser, and then you know how Chrome will sometimes make suggestions of what, like, I assume based on history, but I've never been, it went to americanexpress.com/register card. And so like auto-populated somehow, definitely a page I've never been to. And so I entered it. And it just looked really weird. It didn't quite look like there was no American Express branding, but like it had fields to enter the card. I was like, wait a minute. And so I stepped back and I manually typed it again, /register card, and it went to the real thing. And so it was totally like just a, you know, one character difference.
Sure.
But I don't know how like Chrome suggested it to me.
That's interesting. It must have been that you know, others have done that before, and it wouldn't surprise me that somebody would have that people could have confused the different punctuation to do that. But I wouldn't say that would be nefarious. It's still an American Express's website. It's just a different
subfolder. I don't think it was.
Not necessarily. I mean, it could have been, but I think maybe one thing that maybe you don't know is that just because it auto-populates stuff from your history doesn't mean that it doesn't also take from most popular searches and most popular typing, basically. So it isn't necessarily just your history.
Sure.
It takes from local history and then it goes out from there. So, you know, it very well could be just a spoofing site. Usually when I get that stuff, I'll just copy a link and I'll send it to the company.
Okay, smart.
You know, the other thing too that I wanted to mention, speaking of spoofing, was that does anybody here use the informed delivery from the USPS? So basically what that is it will...
when it shows up to your house, right?
It will, in the morning, it will send you an email with a picture of the items that are going to be delivered to your house that day. You know, they run it through that automated system that takes a picture of everything, and that way you know. For folks like me who have a central mailbox that you have to go to it to get it, it's whether or not, you know, if you need to go get the mail today. The problem is that there are people who are taking advantage of that. It used to be, or I guess it still is, if you signed up for somebody's credit card, or if you signed up for a credit card in somebody else's name and you tried to have it sent to another address, that's kind of a red flag, right? That's one of those things where they might stop it and make the phone call and say, hey, did you really apply for this? But now, if you have it sent to the original address and you sign up for that person's informed delivery, you now can read their email and know when it's going to show up, have it delivered to the right address, and just go make sure you get to the mailbox first.
Yeah.
It's goofy. There's a lot of ways to you know, use these legitimate services to cause problems for people, for sure.
Yeah. Hopping back to that spoofing story just one more time, there was just this week a big article about users of Bing. So supposedly, or I guess you would think that people get a new computer and they want to put Chrome on as an alternate browser, were firing up Edge and going to Bing and searching for Chrome downloads. And the link that they got was to a nefarious website. And people started reporting it, and then, of course, they immediately took it down. But that actually happened this week. You did not want to search for Chrome using Bing because you were going to get a bad site. So you got to be careful. No matter what you're doing, John, it's perfect. That's you did the right thing, and people just have to be really wary that they're getting taken somewhere that they don't want to be taken to, I guess, or you're going to get taken.
Yeah, that's a really picky one. I'd venture a guess 90% of the people, that's probably low, would not notice that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's a one character difference, yeah.
So, yeah, very kind of scary there, really.
Yeah. Well, this is an interactive show for folks. If you have questions for us, don't be shy. Send us a text. It's 956-STPB. That's 956-7372. Our phone number is 800-852-0214. Again, 800-852-0214. Twitter users, you can send a note to me at KentSDPB. And of course, the most familiar way is in the moment at sdpb.org. That's the way to get to it. Boy, I was kind of making a list, guys, this week of things I wanted to talk about today, and 90% of my tablet has Facebook written on it in some way. There's just so many varied things from things that they've features that they've brought out this week to announcements with if you've seen the commercials for the portal and their stories are taking hold, and there's 3D pictures and then of course I don't know if you guys watched Frontline this week. There was a two-part Facebook I wouldn't call it an expose, but really well done documentary about Facebook. I did watch both hours. I would say if you want to watch the most impactful hour of the two, it'd be the second edition. But did anyone on the panel watch that this week?
I did. Yeah,
I did not.
Yeah,
mm-mm. Yeah.
I think you can catch it on their website, or certainly you can probably catch it in rebroadcast.
Yep, you can catch it.
It's definitely worth doing.
Actually. I put a link on our Facebook page, Facebook. This is, ironically enough, facebook.com/techradio. I put a link. Otherwise, you can watch the show as you can most all PBS programs and certainly all SDPB programs. The address is watch.sdpb.org. So, or you can go to sdpb.org and click on watch in the menu bar, and it'll take you to all the programming, really, all the PBS and SDPB programming you'd ever want to watch is there. But you'll find those two episodes from Frontline. And I can't express over the radio how impacted I was, I guess, by viewing that content. I didn't realize the depth of the effect of Facebook in foreign countries with certain political views and other things. And it brought it home to the U.S. for the election cycle that everybody's interested in 2016. But in the future, as I view what's coming past me on my Facebook news feed, it really gives me pause to understand who's trying to I don't want to say control my thoughts, but make me think of certain things or think of people in certain ways. It's really divisive in some of these posts I've been seeing, and this is this all really brought it home for me that 2 hours, especially the second hour.
If you're looking for a really good follow on Twitter, or he has a great newsletter that comes out on Fridays, his name's Scott Galloway. He is a professor at NYU. Stearns, which is the business school, School of Management at NYU. And about a year ago, he wrote a book called The Four, which is a book I highly recommend. It's about the big four of Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and Google. And I read it about a year ago when it came out, and I would say it's more relevant probably even a year later than it was then. And just the power, influence, control. I mean, these companies have more power and influence than countries, right? Than governments, several countries. And he had a tweet this week that I thought was really interesting. He said, Zuckerberg, he thinks in the annals of history, Zuckerberg and Sandberg, the COO of Facebook, will go down as some of the most dangerous business leaders in the history of business. And I thought that was, you know, a little bit of shock and awe, but also, you know, if it weren't for all the dopamine and kind of the psychological aspects of Facebook that we all love, I think it's kind of, we're blinded to some of that influence and control. And I even feel a little conflicted. Like part of my first business was built on Facebook, right? Like part of what made me an entrepreneur was Facebook and these type of tools. There's a lot of power and control that come with that influence.
There is, and this is an interesting background into how that all happened. You know, certainly I think going forward, you know, how do we learn from what's going on? And certainly media literacy is it tech literacy? Is it media literacy? Is it, you know, because that was Zuck's first line of defense for years was we're not a media company, we're a technology platform. And he continued to recite that for a very long time, I think, before he realized that, hey, you know, we have an obligation to what travels over our technology platform. So is it media literacy that we need to go forward with and get people educated into where am I going with this? How things influence you, or the reactions people are trying to get from you, or is it sourcing? Or I'm really sort of still trying to figure that out after this week.
Well, I think everybody's trying to figure that out. You know, just worldwide. You know, in the UK and in Norway, they're now teaching kids to spot. You know, news that isn't accurate and fake websites and things like John was dealing with fake URLs and things like that. Sure. That's how it's going to start. I honestly think that young people, for the most part, they're going to grow up with it so that it's just going to be automatic to them. I really believe that. I don't see that, you know, Facebook is or social media is really unlike any other big industry from the past, whether that was, you know, the discovery of oil and oil barons. And then, you know, all of a sudden there's two or three people that control the entire thing. Same thing with cars. Sure. Lots of industries like that. Telephone, electricity. You could go through the history. It's different because
I think the difference is the speed.
Yeah, it's different because it's all faster and because it's something that everybody kind of uses right away and has access to. But, you know, the flip side of that, there's a lot more knowledge now and a lot more, media like public radio or CNN or whoever's, you know, kind of watchdogging what's going on. So I think if you're an informed consumer and you pay attention and you, you know, do your research and listen or watch whatever it is you do or read, I think that's going to be pretty straightforward. I think you're going to be able to figure that out.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that it'll swing back, right? Like, to the answer to your question, Kent, is all of the above, like media literacy, digital literacy, sourcing, like any of that education. But I also think Joel's probably right. There's probably I would imagine the younger generation already has more of that than we probably give them credit for, that knowledge and that wherewithal. I think it's the speed, you know, 10 years ago, I think Facebook was just starting to go past college emails, right? So those first four or five years, you had to have a .edu email. And now 10 years later, we're talking about them being part of the media influence in the entire world. So it's really just the speed, and maybe just the consumer and the audience needs to catch up. And your point about being divisive, the political climate we're in doesn't help when people are actually intentionally bringing out fake news.
Yeah, the speed, I think, is a big factor. It's part of the problem because, you know, before you had this speed where you could spread news this fast, you would have the opportunity to kind of think about it, realize whether or not it was real or not. The sensationalism, where you read a headline that if you really sat down and thought about it, is probably not true. The need to be the first person to share that, or be the first person to say, look what I know that you might not know yet, is the ease, right? Just hit the forward button or hit the post button or hit the whatever button it happens to be. as opposed to, and you really have no repercussions from that. Because if I were to walk over and tell you, hey, did you hear the sun burned out? You'd look at me and say, you don't know what you're talking about. Obviously, it didn't. But you do that on a social media, and A, very few people are going to take the time to call you out on it. B, even if they do, is it going to get lost in all of the conversation anyway?
But I think it cuts both ways, though. I completely understand what you're saying, and don't disagree. It does happen fast. It happens way faster than it did in the past, you know. However, we all also have these abilities to verify. We can go to a website or go to listen to our favorite news program or read something, do some research on the internet. 30 years ago, if somebody told you something about Steve Jobs, I mean, you had to wait until somebody decided to write an article. A month later, you could figure it out. Mm-hmm. There was no internet to check that. Nobody to call. There was no Center for American Progress, or there was none of that that you could actually check. So I think older people, which I'm part of, and older, it's very hard to adapt to those things. Mm-hmm. You see something and you think like it's 30 years ago or 20 years ago, and you, well, I don't know what I think about that. But when I think younger people automatically check things, and I think that that's just going to be part of their psyche. So I agree, it's worrisome, but I believe it cuts both ways. I mean, we have tools now that we didn't have
before. The tools are there. It's getting people to use those tools, but absolutely.
Getting people to use any tools has always been a problem. Yeah. So I don't like see that as new.
The era you described before, the slowness, the opposite of speed, I guess, it also allowed your emotions to calm down, right? Because what happens is, like, especially in this political climate, you see something on Facebook and all you're probably reading is the headline, which probably is not even entirely true, right? If you actually dig into the article. I mean, we're seeing that with political ads in our state right now. And, you know, and then articles coming back saying, yeah, those people actually aren't really, you know, Billy Sutton's neighbors.
Right.
But, and so I think you can just you know, it forced us to slow down,
but
allows your emotions to calm down.
But 50 years ago, you could whip up a group of 50 people, and they had nowhere to check. You say, this and this and this and this is happening. If you're a charismatic, credible guy or woman or whatever it is, you know, they've got nowhere to check until somebody decides, you know, a year later to do an expose or whatever
it is.
It's
almost like what was it, yellow journalism, right? Wasn't that what it was called back then?
Everything happens a lot faster now, but on the flip side, finding out about things happens a lot faster. So
that's true. Well, we're going to take a quick break. I just wanted to mention that they do talk about corporate responsibility and other topics and delve into this a little bit more. If you do want to take the time to watch that, that'd be great. SDPB.org, and click on Watch. You'll be able to find it in the newer videos section there. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll move on from this topic and tackle some other new hardware items and many more of the things in the news after this. And you are in the moment on SDPB Radio. I'm Kent Osborne. We're talking tech today with the computer guys. Couple of different ways to get a hold of us. If you still trust Facebook, it's facebook.com/techradio. If you'd like to text us, it's 956-SDPB. I'm going to kick off this next segment. We had...
I feel like I have to make one comment.
Yeah.
Amos
was
flying through our Facebook page, and we're maybe contributing to the false news on Facebook, because I saw our cover photo from like the days back in SDN where we all look like just, you know, like 10 years younger.
Just like young kids.
Yeah. My mom's always like, you know, she listens to the radio, and I think I posted an Instagram picture, and she's like, oh, that's what those people look like. I always hear their voices.
Not anymore.
But if you went to our Facebook page, I think we're probably lying.
I look more like I sound, so just anybody that cares.
Guys.
I'm as good looking as I sound.
Next show, we'll have to get together for a group. A group picture. So, guys, clean up a little bit and show up to the next show, and we'll take another picture, okay?
All right.
Or do what? Or grow your November beard out or whatever you need to do, and we'll get that taken care of. I guess that show's the 16th. That'll be the show before Black Friday. So we're hoping to extend our guide to geek gifting that day and talk a little bit of gifting tech in a couple of weeks. It's crazy. It's already November, but we're there. Anyway, Jim writes in. He says, "Why hasn't there been a competitor to Facebook?" And it sounds like it's an easy question, but I'm going to use that question to kick off this next segment, because, as I mentioned, there is so much Facebook news From both Facebook and YouTube this week rolled out Premiere features. So that allows presenters of media or movies or whatever to present a film or a segment of video as if it were live, roll it out, and include commenting and do things. YouTube's is similar. Producers of a documentary or a program can have solicit live questions and comments during a premiere, I guess it would be, of a video segment. So that's kind of cool. The portal that we've all probably seen, if you're not watching a political ad, you've seen an ad for Facebook and Portal, which strikes me back when I was in grade school, which was a very, very, very long time ago, we were all sort of promised these video phones. And it struck me this week. It's like, oh, it's the video phone without the phone line. It's the internet that many of us have in our homes. And all of a sudden, they've figured out how to make easy video calls. More than you know, logging into a computer and doing Skype and all that. It's sort of the video phone for everybody.
I'm going to take Jim's question. Can I answer his question?
Yes.
Okay. So why is there not another Facebook? People have tried, right? So the original Facebook, even before Facebook, was called Friendster. They didn't quite unlock the business model aspect or raise the funds that Facebook did, which is why they charted off and, you know, into the distance. The big reason is Zuckerberg gets a lot of credit. So if I open the App Store right now and look at the top free apps, number 2, Instagram, number 5, Messenger, Facebook Messenger, number 6, Facebook, and then you get down to like number 17, WhatsApp, those are all owned by Facebook. And so Mark opens up his big wallet, and when any legitimate competitor comes along, he's acquired them. And the only one, let's see, Snapchat is number 3. He tried to, and Evan Spiegel, the CEO of Snapchat, turned him down. But so that's one thing, is they've built this ecosystem, this huge ecosystem that they have a lot of the power and the control. And then the second part is that a part of social networks and social media is this idea called network effects, meaning the reason, and we all laugh and make fun of the fact that, you know, grandma or parents join Facebook, is because everyone's on there, right? So they join Facebook because that's where their family and their friends are. And so for a new upstart to come along, one, have the cash to compete, which they never would with Facebook, but two, for me to say to like, hey, everybody, let's go quit and join Blibbity Blob, right? It's the new upcoming social network. And you're like, yeah, I don't know. Like, all my friends are on Facebook.
Right. Or they'll join and they'll keep their Facebook account and they'll just stay on Facebook. You know, I mean, the only thing that's going to overcome Facebook is something else, is a different...
Itself, I would yeah. think.
Like, well, I mean, it's just a different platform. Yeah. I mean, people are not going to be like, oh, I remember back when we were on our phones and we were... actually had to type in the person's name and we had to go and look at their pictures. It's so much easier now that it all comes into my eyeball or whatever it is up. So, I mean, that's the only thing that's going to take Facebook down. But again, that's not completely unusual. I mean, there are competitors for Facebook. There's just competitors for Facebook in different areas that they do lots of stuff in.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and how do you define competitor? Do you define competitor as eyeball screen time?
Of course,
right? Because in that case, Snapchat is a competitor.
Absolutely.
You might not be posting to a wall, but you're certainly making a story.
YouTube.
We actually heard through the news here, because of the tragedies that have happened around the United States, there was a Gab.com, mm-hmm. which is a social media site similar to Twitter, but is specific to a particular political affiliation. And so, you know, those are places.
Twitter.
What, Twitter? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So if competition is screen eyeball time, then there's lots of competition.
Absolutely.
If competition is an identical product that you would go to, then that probably won't happen, because why would I go over there when my friends are over
and
here?
And that's my absolute final thing on that. If I was out there and I wanted to make a create a company, I would not go, hey, I want to compete with Facebook,
because it's not going to be any cheaper.
Well, it's going to be harder. It's going to cost more money, and is it worth it? I mean, it'd just be better to get ahead of the game, which is what all these other companies we're talking about have done,
although,
or tried to do.
Although,
tried to, yeah.
Well, you know, MySpace and Facebook were pretty similar when Facebook started.
Of course,
although yeah. Facebook was a little more aggressive at allowing customizations, allowing new things, innovating with new and more interesting items. One of the
See, I would actually argue is the opposite. Like,
you think so?
Originally, I think eventually, like,
oh sure.
Originally, why people chose Facebook, it was like it was clean, it was simple. Like you just updated your status. Like,
true.
Yeah, and they got MySpace. Their, they the joke their... was always like you could have the rainbow background, and you could have the songs, or you could have the you could like make your own page, your space, however you wanted to. And Facebook was like, here is a feed, say something.
And a lot of the social media starts out that clean, right? I mean, it's none of the excess stuff, just the things you want. But eventually, in order to become relevant or in order to stay relevant, you got to have something new to bring them back.
I think Twitter had a chance, and they failed for several years there to really innovate on the product. It just stayed the same. And that's what they thought was, you know, what made Twitter special. Like, right, we're 140 characters. You can't edit your tweets. You can't delete your tweets, and forever they just didn't change, and Facebook just kept going past, and Twitter just stayed. And now Twitter is dealing with their own issues, which is, you know, spam and fake accounts, similar things that Facebook is dealing with too. But I think Twitter had a legitimate chance. Snapchat made a really good run. They're really struggling after the IPO. I think the stock price is about half as what they IPO'd for.
And Instagram's really kicking their tail right now.
Which that was probably one of the best business moves that Zuckerberg did. Like, he acquired Instagram for $1 billion, which you also, you know, those founders just left Facebook. Those guys had, I think, a team of 12 when they were acquired for $1 billion. I mean, it was like a you can't turn it down type of money. I've heard that Instagram's valued at, you know, close to $150 billion now. So
yeah, and they wouldn't have gotten that big had they not been bought by Facebook.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So
yep. But yeah, but getting back to Jim's question, there are competitors, and you're right that they've either been bought out, or in the case of, let's just take Craigslist, Facebook rolls out a set of features. All of a sudden, it's the marketplace, and how convenient is that? Because you're spending your time on Facebook anyway, checking out the parties from Halloween night, and all of a sudden you see the snowblower that you've been looking to buy. All of a sudden appears in marketplace.
I am always surprised every time I see Craigslist that it's still around. I mean, it has such a basic interface. It's so limited at what it can do.
Which is the reason I really
go
like
there
it.
For one particular
yeah.
purpose.
Yeah, totally. I agree.
Yeah.
They're not making their money on marketplace, but Facebook is making their money on the ads, right? Because you can get so specific and so targeted. And now Instagram, they're starting to make that profitable too, where they're putting these ads into your stories, into your feeds. And it's no coincidence that it's a pair of Nike shoes, because you were just looking at a pair of new running shoes. You know, they know. But yeah. I would say, like, if anyone's going to stop Facebook, it'll be themselves. So meaning, you know, this whole like delete Facebook movement is real. Like, I think user growth was actually down this most recent quarter.
Oh, another indication of how smart he is by buying other companies. Like, okay, yeah. Quit Facebook and go to Instagram. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Most people don't know they're owned by the same. Yeah.
Yeah. The last two quarters actually are down for Facebook in the U.S. and especially in Europe. I guess it's probably privacy concerns.
Well, I think a lot of that is they're weeding out fake accounts. I heard a story on that. Both Twitter and Facebook, you know, are losing subscribers. But what's really happening is people are not signing up for fake accounts because it's becoming impossible to do, or it's generally impossible. And they've weeded out so many fake accounts, and they're going to do more. So got to kind of take that with a grain of salt, really.
I think both, yeah.
I've heard also that kids are moving away from it because grandma is on it and because
we've heard that since Facebook has been a thing. So, I mean, I believe some of that, and I totally don't believe some of that.
I do know a lot of folks who are younger who do not do Facebook. They're Snapchat, Instagram. They cringe when you say, you know, Instagram is Facebook, right?
Well, I know you're right about I know you're right in a certain point, because my daughter has never asked me for a Facebook account, not once. She has asked me for lots of accounts. Facebook is not one of them. So
and
I know you're right.
That's the one like sliver of hope that Snapchat still has, is that they have that 25 and under, 30 and under market. So if they could crack it, there's still hope, but they're really on their last lifeline too.
We'll see how that goes in upcoming episodes. Going to take another quick break. When we come back, I promise we're going to get to some Mac hardware, Joel, but that'll be after this. In the Moment, Tech Radio continues on SDPB Radio, and we've got the experts today to answer questions. John T. Myers here from Lemonly, Amos Aesop from Exigent Solutions, and of course, Mac Guru Joel Brovelite joins us as well. Joel, exciting Apple news earlier this week has kind of little stories have been popping out every day since about Mac hardware. What's made the impression for you this week?
Well, lots of hardware was announced on Tuesday at Apple's event in New York at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. I think I could probably just hit the real big highlights. Apple announced a new iPad Pro, so that they have an 11-inch model and a 12.9-inch model. And they're basically all screen now. They've, just like the iPhone X, have gotten rid of the home button. And anybody that's used an iPhone X and gotten used to it, as John was telling me this morning, I think will be very happy with how that functions. I know it's going to, you know, it just gives you more screen, and now it allows you to actually use it in any orientation without having to.
What do you think about getting rid of? They got rid of the Thunderbolt, the headphone jack.
Yeah, right? They got rid of the headphone jack, which I think is a non-issue for the most part, especially considering.
AirPods.
Yeah, well, that, but there's lots of Bluetooth headphones on the market, but because it has USB C on it, you can also just, you know, get an adapter or whatever if you really are. I don't see too many people tied to their iPad.
Do you think that's a shift, Apple saying we're going to not kind of move away from the Thunderbolt deal?
I think, well, you can, what you can buy is you can buy a USB-C to Thunderbolt. So I think maybe for the time being, for some of their devices, they'll keep Thunderbolt, or they'll keep Lightning, which is connected that you're used to. But yeah, I think they'll absolutely go to USB-C eventually. It makes a lot of sense.
So that's an interesting move for Apple because that's more open marketplace, meaning like
for
other
sure.
third-party apps and accessories.
Steve is no longer alive, so they're a little more apt to do things like that. So yeah, in the iPad, just it looks fantastic. If you haven't seen pictures, I highly recommend it. You'll be able to see it live in store at a Best Buy or whatever next week.
And those are a little bit bigger now.
They are. All of them are bigger, although the footprint is the same size or smaller in the case of the 12.9, solely because, you know, there's no button and the bezel is much smaller. So it's basically same footprint, larger size, thinner, you know, exactly what you would expect from a major upgrade from Apple. True. One of the things I thought was great, the Apple Pencil, which of course works on all the iPad Pros, will now magnetically charge and connect to the iPad, something that I wished ever since I got the iPad Pro and the Pencil when it was first announced. So that looks fantastic. I think
magnetically charge. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's not a lot different than it would work for the watch.
But you won't have to take it off and click it in.
Right, exactly. Yeah, pretty fantastic. They also announced new MacBook Air. It's been a long time since they revamped that, and they did some pretty serious upgrades. It now has fingerprint ID to open it up. It's faster, a larger screen, exactly what you would expect. I think it's going to be a very popular laptop for them. The MacBook Air has been a very popular laptop for them just because people like the footprint.
Yeah, I love it.
So they're probably going to sell a lot of those. A kind of an announcement that I guess took me by surprise when I first found out about it a couple weeks ago. They revamped the Mac Mini, and they really revamped it. And what the Mac Mini, for anybody that doesn't know, is just Apple's, you know, headless computer. It's just a little box, that has a hard drive and processor and all that. And, you know, you supply the keyboard and mouse or whatever you've got. And, basically it's just a computer, if you can think of a computer tower, except for this is more the size of a couple decks of cards. So it's very small, but they've upgraded it to now it's fast enough where if you fully max out the specs on their Mac Mini, it will cost you something like $4,200 for this little teeny tiny small pizza box. But it's very fast, and it's going to be very popular with the pro users that maybe use two or three or a dozen in a stack to you know, render video or whatever it is. And then there were software updates completely through the list. They're all kind of .1 updates, but a lot of them are pretty important. So if you've got an Apple device, there's probably a software update out there waiting for you, and I highly recommend you do it because some of it's security, some of it is emojis. which you definitely want to get, of course. And they updated their iMac Pro, their Pro level desktop. So lots of updates. But I think the biggest was probably the iPad.
Yeah, that's the thing that I've caught in my news feed has been, besides the increased sort of bezel size, was the power.
Yeah, it's very fast,
super fast.
Yeah, although they've been going that direction with their iPads, you know. While that's very important, I think it's definitely the biggest upgrade or biggest change in the iPad model since the original iPad was announced. It's not having a button, it having a new connector basically, completely bezel-less. I think it's a big upgrade, and you're going to see a lot of. They're going to have a good Christmas.
One thing really interesting, the Tim Cook's quote was, the iPad is, quote, the most popular computer in the world.
It is indeed.
And I just thought that was interesting that he used that word, saying, you know, they're essentially trying to make it as the computer killer now, which, you know, was the same thing that they did with, the phone, kind of killed their own product with the iPod. And so I think that's interesting. If you look into the future, you know, maybe we'll all be on more tablets instead of laptops. That doesn't seem too groundbreaking, but they're clearly making that their goal when he has that quote.
Yeah,
And they're saying that the power equals that of a MacBook, a current model.
It does.
MacBook.
I mean, you were just on the landing page there, Amos. So like, what, yeah, 512
some,
gigs.
Some
like
of them.
The
yeah.
laptop that I took to college only 14 years ago was like 64 gigs.
Yeah, one of the really interesting parts about it that in that space where it could be used as computers now that it has USB-C, and because USB-C is chainable, meaning you can connect multiple devices to one port. You essentially could set it up with lots of external devices, which you're never able to before.
Monitor.
You didn't even mention that. You can now hook it up to a 5K external monitor, which just kind of blows my mind. I really can't wait to give that a try. So, I think in a year from now, we're gonna see a lot of people using this new device. Like I said, I think you're gonna have a good Christmas with this iPad.
Is there something you can do with with more power in the iPad that you couldn't do before?
Play video games that are really intense and heavy on the
graphics,
the processor and the graphics card. So yeah, that makes a big difference. They showed NBA 2K now on the iPad running basically as fast or faster than it would run on Xbox One, which is kind of crazy.
The other cool thing I don't think you mentioned, I think it's the MacBook Air, but it's 100% recycled.
New announced devices are now using 100% recycled aluminum.
That's cool.
Which is kind of a big deal because they had to develop a process to use recycled aluminum, because when it comes in, it comes in kind of a slightly harder to use a bunch of shreds rather than a giant block or tubes of aluminum,
sure.
However they get it. So, that's a big deal for Apple to go to 100% recyclable. So, yeah, I think that's really good news. And they also announced that all of their retail stores are using 100% recycled or renewable energy, something that their main headquarters has done for a while. So Apple's really trying to, be a good steward, I think.
Great. So updated hardware. So we got updated software. Amos, on the Android side, we've got new patches as well. We went from Oreo to, is it Pi? Is the new Android spec?
Well, it depends on what device you're on, and honestly, which carrier you're with. Some carriers allow things to be upgraded, but yes, Pi is the new 9.0 version, initially released back in August, but to be honest, most people haven't seen it yet, unless you're getting it on a brand new device. Google tends to put it on their devices a lot faster, but if you're on another carrier, if you're running like a Samsung or you're running some other version, it takes a while for those to come out.
And I think I just did an update here in the last couple of days. I'm going to swing in and see if that's what it was. But they were purporting better battery life, but they're finding in some cases that's not the case.
You know, it's always going to be difficult to, in general, they do better on the battery life. In general, the you know, across the board, if you average them all out, but you're always going to find users who have poor battery life, and there's also going to be things that they didn't. They didn't test, they didn't plan for, that need those new software releases, that need those updates in order to maybe tweak that to get it to the point where it needs to be. But in general, battery life is always getting better.
So unintended consequences,
absolutely,
maybe,
yeah.
in some instances. I've seen a, there's an LG phone, it's got five cameras in it. I thought that was an interesting, so it's it's got kind of that built-in wider angle, a built-in zoomier optical.
That seems unnecessary.
Yeah,
it's it sounds crazy, and
because it is.
Well, and you know the
author of the article,
basically said, yeah, this seemed really extreme to me, but after actually using it, it's pretty cool.
You know,
and.
Oh, we'll sorry. See. Go ahead.
To see what the application is.
Yeah, yeah. On my Note 8, I've got three. You know, it's got the quote unquote selfie camera. It's got the rear camera, but then it's got a zoom lens, which is basically just a second camera that has a different lens over the top of it. So you get 2x optical zoom instead of 2x digital zoom, right?
Where
you
get and more importantly, it allows you to have multiple focus points where the one camera can stabilize the background. So I mean, it offers through software lots of options.
There's a unique, I think it's called the bokeh effect or something that,
mm-hmm.
where things are super blurry in the background and real sharp up in front.
If you have a new iPhone, by the way, available in the update that I mentioned before.
I've played with it. I haven't used it. I don't know. I don't take a lot of photographs with my phone in an artsy manner. It's mostly of nieces and nephews playing with the dog or something, you know. So I don't do a lot of that.
You're artsy, Amos. Don't sell yourself short.
Add some artsy to the photos, I guess.
Right.
But that this could be the you know, is it possible that new phones and new filters and new things to do? Facebook rolled out the 3D thing in the news feeds. Could that get people off of their old phones because people haven't been upgrading the phones that they have still work?
Especially for the prices that new phones are. When you're talking, there was another phone that was coming out, I forget the name of it, but it was going to retail at $1,499. They're getting ridiculous, so they need to have some unique and interesting characteristics in order to get people to convert.
Yeah.
Bring out those features. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank my panelists today for taking time out of their busy days and imparting some wisdom with us. Thank you so much, guys. A reminder that SDPB is always there for you with our app or at sdpb.org. Go there and click on Listen. Have a great weekend.